Moncrief on News Talk. Moncrief's Murder Club. It's not always murders, but we like the name.
You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087 1400 106 is our WhatsApp number. It is, as the nice lady said there, time for Moncrief's Murder Club. Today, Aoife Moore will be guiding us through some strange and some unexplained cases. Today, we're talking about people faking their own deaths. Good afternoon, Aoife.
Good afternoon. Yeah, so this is one that I didn't realise has been going on for centuries. I think the most common one you hear now is Elvis and Tupac, I think, are the main ones that people believe.
They actually live together now.
Yes,
people don't know
in
that.
Like Cuba or Bahamas or somewhere. Yeah. So I went looking to see if I could find the most interesting ones. Obviously, there was a very famous TV program about the man in the canoe in England a few years ago.
Yeah.
But I left him out because I felt like people might know that one.
Yeah.
So the first one, I am going to take you back to the 1800s in Massachusetts. I think this lad, right, his name is Timothy Dexter, also known as Lord Timothy Dexter. He was not a lord. He made that up himself.
Yeah.
And I think this is probably the best example of an Irishman failing upwards his entire life. So Timothy Dexter was born in Massachusetts to Irish parents. And he had no schooling, dropped out of school and worked as a farm labourer at the age of 8. But he married a very rich lady, as all lucky men do. She was 32 when they got married and he moved into her mansion. He had a load of odd jobs and I thought this was very interesting. She opened a shop that sold notions.
Yeah, well, it sounds like Timothy already had notions, but what
do
does that mean?
Do you know what notions? So notions are sewing accessories. I looked into it.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
Like little
bobbins
and pins and stuff.
Yeah.
So basically, she seems to have had her head switched on and she had picked up all these good businesses and he was a bit of an idiot, but tried his hand at everything and kept buying things that had really no monetary value. And then for some reason, they became popular as soon as he bought them. It was just a stroke of luck. For instance, he introduced cats to the Caribbean islands and everyone laughed at him. Turned out there was a rat infestation and the cats came in really handy and he was able to sell them all at a profit. Then he sold Bibles to the missionaries and he said that he had cornered the market on goods that others did not see as valuable and the utility of acting the fool.
Yeah, so, and he bought currency.
Yes.
The continental currency, which was worthless at the time.
Worthless at the time.
Yeah.
And then spiked as soon as he got it and he was able to buy ships with the profits. This went on and on. He bought mansions. He absolutely loved himself. He said, he wrote under a statue he had made of himself, "I am the first in the East, the first in the West, and the greatest philosopher in the Western world."
Okay, that's
right?
It. Yeah, that's a big
sure,
one.
Sure, if you don't support yourself,
who will?
Who will,
indeed.
Exactly.
So the mansion, though, was really, you know, this is J.R. Ewing stuff.
Yes, he bought it in from Nathaniel Tracy, who was a local socialite, and he, very gaudy, like Donald Trump himself, decorated it with 40 wooden statues of famous men, never a woman, because why would you bother? George Washington, Napoleon, Thomas Jefferson, and of course, himself. So then he decided he wanted to be a lord. So he would go around his local area and offer money to children to call him lord. And then he would throw these lavish parties, but the only people, you could only be invited if you will call him lord.
Yeah.
So this,
of course. And I suppose he slotted right in there with the local high society.
It's like the Gilded Age kind of thing. So then the eccentricness started to pick up when he frequently told visitors to his house that his wife had died and the woman frequenting the building was her ghost.
Jesus. She must have felt great about that, really.
And then I think the ego obviously grows to such a size that at one point, in true Father Ted fashion, he fakes his own death because he wants to see how people will react. So he enlisted a few trustworthy men to organise a mock funeral, disseminated small mass cards with the news of his death to the community, and his wife and two children were let in on the hoax, and he demanded that they act the part and they had to cry and act distraught. 3,000 people showed up to his funeral.
Wow.
With fancy wines and exotic liquors were poured. And he was able, he was underneath the coffin staring through the floorboards.
Yeah.
At all the people who had been there to obviously celebrate his life. It says
or his death, perhaps. Or, yeah.
His son had gotten sufficiently drunk to weep without much effort. And his daughter kept her head in her hands. And then he saw his wife was smiling and tearless.
Well, kind of understandably, really.
Yeah. So apparently then he let his wife know of his great displeasure by beating her up. And then at one point he just entered the room with a big grin on his face to all these crying people and told them all it was all a big joke.
Did they all think it was funny?
I mean, I think he had been well known for these types of things, and then I think when he died later, then a few decades later, people didn't take it as
nobody really believed
seriously. Yeah. Who was it that said the rumors of my death
had
been
greatly exaggerated? Yeah. Yes, indeed. So the next chap, Arkady Babchenko.
Yes,
this is like spy stuff.
This is a more recent one.
Recent.
Yeah, so. Babchenko, who was a journalist who fled from Moscow to Kyiv in 2017, apologized to his wife during a press conference organized by Ukraine's SBU spy agency when she, friends and colleagues learned to their great surprise that he was still alive. His death was faked in an operation involving a makeup artist, pig's blood, and a trip by ambulance to the morgue where he cleaned himself up and watched the news of his murder on live TV.
Okay, so why did he do it?
He said that he had been made aware that there was a threat out on his life as a journalist working in Russia, and he wanted, or living in Ukraine, and he wanted, obviously, to get ahead of this. He reached out to the Ukrainian spy agency, and it was them who organized the fake killing. He said he wanted to collect his belongings and disappear somewhere in the North Pole. But then I realized, where do you hide? Because Sergei Skripal also tried to hide. So we know that Skripal was a former Russian spy, and he and his daughter were poisoned in Salisbury in the UK. That was a big thing at the time. And he felt that that was his fate, that the same thing was going to happen to him. So it says the preparations for his fake murder were meticulous. They went on for a long time, around a month. On the day of his assassination, a makeup artist came into his apartment. He practiced falling over, and the blood was all natural because it was taken from a pig. And after the stage shooting by an imaginary assassin, his wife rang the police and called an ambulance. The paramedics turned up, put him on a stretcher, carried him out into the street where people would see it. And the legend was that I was still alive at that point, but then the press were told he died in hospital.
And did his wife know at this stage that this was fake?
It appears that she was let in on it after the fact.
Oh, but when she walks in and sees him covered in blood,
I think she thought he was dead at the time.
Mother, that's a bit cruel.
And then he said once he got to a secure area, he was resurrected. He got up, took off his t-shirt and washed himself, turned on the TV and watched the news of my murder. After that, I was taken to a secure location and it all ended at 5 a.m. Obviously, it was then announced that he was still alive. He had been taken to a safe place. And Ukraine's government at the time defended the decision to falsify Babchenko's death.
But given that we now know he's alive.
Yes.
Why did they go through all? Why didn't they just take him to the safe location?
It was to move him to the safe location without Russia getting to him first. The reason he knew he was under threat was someone had been inside him and his wife's apartment and taken photographs of the apartment.
Right. Okay.
And no one had noticed, obviously, because the KGB are obviously very good at what they do.
What they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as you know, as far as it's known, is he still alive?
Still alive in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there you are.
I think though, you know, kind of thumbing your nose at them is only kind of gonna
So our third and final fake death was in 2009. This lad is different from the other two because he did it all himself.
Yeah.
And for not great reasons. So naturally, this happened in Florida because that's where all mad things happen in America. So in 2009, a businessman tried to fake his own death by putting his plane on autopilot, parachuting to the ground and speeding off on a motorcycle. A 38-year-old investment advisor called Marcus Schrenker was found inside a tent in northern Florida 3 days after his unpiloted aircraft crashed into a swamp. He was discovered with cut wrists, suggesting he had attempted to take his own life before he had been arrested.
Oh, gosh.
He was under investigation for business dealings when he took off on his single-engine plane from Indiana on the way to Florida, and his wife had recently filed for divorce. I would say she avoiding the red flags there. He had acquired a great wealth through investment advice, managing pension funds that's worth millions, collected luxury cars, owned two planes, and lived in an upscale neighborhood known as Cocktail Cove. But before the crash, he had lost around $500,000, and one of his companies, judgment against one of his companies when he missed a court hearing. Investigators examining his businesses for possible securities violation had recently raided his home and office. So when he took off on the plane, he made a fake distress call. He told air traffic controllers that his windshield had imploded after the plane experienced turbulence and that he was bleeding profusely. Military jets were sent out to look for him. They couldn't hear anything. He went quiet. They followed the plane until it crashed in a bayou, and the wreckage showed no signs of blood or the blown windshield.
Yeah. But when the military jets were beside his plane, they saw the door open.
He had already parachuted away. Yeah. So his apparent plan failed when officers questioned a man using Shrinker's driving license in Alabama, more than 200 miles away from the crash site. The man claimed he had been in a canoe accident, but he was only wet from the knees down.
Okay, that was.
And he appeared to be wearing goggles only made for flying.
Oh dear, I feel kind of sorry for him, really.
Unaware of the Florida plane crash, these officers let him go. But a day later, authorities caught up with him in the Florida campground, and US Marshals took over the case, and he was arrested and sent to prison.
Okay. What was the charge against him?
Securities violations.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Rather than faking your own death.
Yeah.
I think faking
your own death is technically illegal because it's a type of fraud, isn't it?
I suppose, but if you don't, it depends.
Anyone with experience, do call in.
Yeah, if anyone out there has faked their own death. Well, one person says people would cop on if I faked my death, especially if my wife was crying. Yes. That might give it away. Aoife, thanks a million for coming into us. That was Aoife Moore there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.